So, you know, if you're with us online this morning, I want to encourage you really press into God right now for what God wants to say to you. You know, this is the first Sunday of the month and we focus on missions. We are a missional church. And, you know, we've been doing, so far this year in February, since Vision Sunday, we've been going through Psalm 96 verses 1 to 4. Let me just read that to you. It says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations." How many know that's what I'm doing this morning? That was very clever of you to get that. Declare his glory among the nations. His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And like I said, we've been working through this passage of scripture since Vision Sunday. And our focus for this year is on declaring his glory. You know, we have looked at singing a new song to the Lord, blessing his name, telling of his salvation, declaring his marvelous works. And last week we did declaring his marvelous works and heard so many people stand and testify of the goodness of God. And that was a great day. And you know what? We want to encourage you that this is a culture of this house. And, you know, probably at least once a month, we are going to be having times where we do what is God up to, what is God doing. And so get ready for that, because we want it to be a culture where everybody shares what God does. How many know God is working all the time? And sometimes they're the little things and we just take them for granted and think, oh, well, that's just what it is. But it's actually God working. And I think there's something in us actually declaring his marvelous works. I think there's something in us talking about, well, you know what, this week I just prayed for this and this is what happened. You know, and it may not be a great big thing, but the point is you ask God and he answered. You ask God and he spoke to you. And I think it's good for us to actually be encouraging one another with what God is doing. And so all of these things that we've talked about declaring his glory in our lives to the world. You know, when we adapt to a posture of singing to the Lord, and so sing to the Lord is not necessarily about us actually singing, it's a posture of singing. It's saying, no matter what is going on in my life, I have something to sing about because I have Jesus. Regardless of whether it's a good time or a bad time, I have Jesus all the time. And so I can sing because of that. You know, when we tell of his salvation in our lives, when we share our story with his story, and you know, his story is the greatest story ever shared, ever told, and carries the power and authority of any other story on the planet. And we have the privilege of sharing that because it's part of our story. And when we share that with others, we actually declare his glory to those people that we are speaking to. You know, when we bear witness to who he is and all that he has done, we are declaring his glory to a world that is still very, very much in darkness. In Habakkuk 2 verse 14, it says, "For as the water fills this sea, the earth will be filled with an awareness of the glory of the Lord." Psalm 72 verse 19 says, "Praise his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen." You know, when you read scriptures like that, the earth will be filled with the awareness of the glory of God. The whole earth will be filled with his glory. When we look at our world right now, I think we could agree that we don't really see God's glory covering the earth. But church, we will. We will. We see a dark world with lots of lights being shone from faithful children of God. But his glory covering the earth, his power and his presence like we've never seen is still to come. It's still to come. You know, we live in a dark world. In Genesis, we read right at the very beginning, darkness actually covered the earth. And when darkness covered the earth, what happened? God said, God declared, God's word was, "Let there be light." And what happened? There was light. There was light. Let there be light. When Jesus came to the earth, he came to say, "Let there be light." And through his work on the cross, light came into the lives of men and women, who then he declared what? You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And yet again, even though God declared that there would be light and Jesus came to bring light and we are declared to show the light of God or be the light to the world, we find ourselves in darkness all over the world. We all know people that are living in some form of darkness. See, we live in a world that currently has more than 40 million people living in slavery. 40 million. Where 1.8 million people live in extreme poverty. This is our world right now. Where there are over 150 million children are orphans. Where we have record numbers of refugees currently, that number stands at over 25 million individuals that have been forcibly displaced worldwide. Where each month 350 Christians are killed for their faith. Each month 105 churches or church buildings are burnt or attacked. Where each month 219 Christians are detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned. We live in a world where 2 billion people have never heard the gospel. Let's go a little bit closer to home. We live in a country where suicide is the leading cause of death between the ages of 15 and 44. Where 1 million, this is our country, where 1 million people, and these stats are before COVID, live with depression each year. Part of the story is where out of 7.7 billion people on the planet, only 2.2 billion identify as Christian. The truth is, there are still billions of people today that find themselves in a place where they don't belong, in the dark. People all around us are in the dark and they don't belong there. People waiting, they are waiting for the light to be shone, for someone to be the light that comes to break the darkness of their life. So you see, church, every chance we get to tell of his salvation, to testify of his marvelous works in our lives, we shine a light. Every chance we get, we shine a light into someone's darkness. Every chance we get to shine light into someone else's darkness, we need to take it. We need to take it. Now I want you to go to Matthew chapter 24, and I want to talk about what Jesus said about the last days. Now, I know you're all feeling really down right now, but you know what? It is going to end well. But it's important for us to shake ourselves sometime and understand the state of the world we live in. And we are talking about declaring his glory to the nations today. So in Matthew 24, verse 3, it says, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives with his disciples who had come to him privately and said, "Tell us when all these things will happen. What sign will signal your return and the end of the world?" And Jesus told them, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all of this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Then you'll be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You'll be hated all over the world because you are my followers. Many will turn away from me and betray the hate and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come." 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 to 5 says, it's titled, "The Dangers of the Last Days." "You shall know this, Timothy, that in the last days it'll be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They'll be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel, hate what is good. They'll betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride. They'll love pleasure rather than God. They'll act religious, but they'll reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like this. 1 Timothy 4:1 to 2. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their conscience are dead. Daniel 12 verse 4, and Daniel kept this prophecy a secret, seal up the book until the time of the end, when many will rush here and there and knowledge will increase. Now you know as well as I do, if you read your Bible, there's a whole lot more scriptures than that. I've just taken a few. But I've done it for a reason. And here's the list from these scriptures. Daniel says they will rush here and there. Now before COVID, that was definitely what was happening across our planet. People were going everywhere. They will rush here and there and have increased knowledge. Wars and rumours of wars. Well, we are right there in amongst that right throughout our world right now. Famine, great poverty. I told you the statistics. Earthquakes, natural disasters happening all the time. Christians will be arrested, persecuted and killed. I gave you 350 a martyred a month. People will hate you because of me. That's coming to us right now. Not going to say too much on that, but that is coming to us in our country right now. There will be those that rise up and deceive many. Many religious people that are clearly false prophets deceiving many. Sin will be rampant. Anarchy, riots, exploitation, slavery, sexual perversion, just to name a few. People will love only themselves and their money. People will be boastful and proud. They will disobey their parents. Many will scoff at God. People will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good, love pleasure rather than God. They will turn from their faith and believe lies that come from the devil himself. Many, it says, many will turn away from me. Their love will grow cold. Now that's just a list out of the verses I read. You know, this is our world right now. And we can be discouraged by it. We can say it's just getting darker. We look around and we're not necessarily seeing any change. We're not necessarily seeing anything that looks good about what's going to happen in the future. But church, it will come. It will come. And now I want to turn to Isaiah 60. Now, it might just look like I'm just reading the Bible this morning, but how many know there's a lot of good things in the Bible? And I'm drawing a comparison here because I think it's important that as the church we understand the state of the world, but that we also understand that we are people of God. And ultimately, God wins and we win with him. So Isaiah chapter 60, and I want you, if you've never read this, to go and read the whole chapter several times. I can't read the whole thing. I'm going to bookend it. I'm going to start with the first five verses and finish with the last 10 because I want to talk about this. But it says, "Arise, Jerusalem, let your light shine for all to see. For the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. Look and see, for everyone is coming home. Your sons are coming from distant lands. Your little daughters will be carried home. Your eyes will shine and your heart will thrill with joy. For merchants from around the world will come to you. They will bring you the wealth of many lands." And then you can keep reading through. But I want to pick it up again at verse 17, the end of it. It says, "I will make peace your leader and righteousness your ruler. Violence will disappear from your land. The desolation and destruction of war will end. Salvation will surround you like a city wall, like city walls, and praise will be on the lips of all who enter there. No longer will you need the sun to shine by day nor the moon to give you its light by night, For the Lord your God will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set, your moon will never go down, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. Your days of mourning will come to an end. All your people will be righteous. They will possess their land forever. For I will plant them there with my own hands in order to bring myself glory. The smallest family will become 1,000 people, and the tiniest group will become a mighty nation. At the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen. I, the Lord, will make it happen. You know, 6-0 Youth Ministry is birthed out of this. You might have wondered, what does 6-0 even mean? Well, this is it, Isaiah 60. Because we believe we are raising up an Isaiah 60 generation, young people. Seb and Sarah, I want you just to come up here for a minute. This is just a bit random, but some of you may not be aware, but at the end of last year, Joe and Kyle actually handed over to Seb and Sarah. Just come stand here, guys. Yes, stand in front of me so that I can be on behind you, and I want you to look at people. Beautiful. That's perfect. Gosh. And please, God, help me not to fall off that step when I move forward. So Seb and Sarah have taken over our youth ministry. 6-0 generation. Amen. Amen. So we are believing, arise and shine, young people. Arise and shine. Let the glory of the Lord shine through you. I wonder, would you just reach out your hand right now to this couple? I just want to pray over them because, you know, they haven't just taken over a babysitting group on a Friday night. They've taken over a ministry that's going to raise up a 6-0 generation, an Isaiah 60 generation. Father God, we thank you for them right now, God. I thank you, God, as I lay my hands on them. Would your mantle come upon them right now? Lord, would you burn within their heart a desire to be hungry for this generation to know you? Lord, would you give them such a passion to reach out to the ones they've already got, but not just that, to the ones that will come, that they will raise up, they will help raise up an Isaiah 60 generation that know who they are in God, that know that they are the answer for their generation, that they are the ones that can bring the hope, the living hope into lives. And so, God, I pray your anointing upon them. I pray, Lord God, that you'll strengthen them, that you'll give them wisdom and insight. And, Lord, that you'll be with the team that stands with them, that they'll all grow together and they'll be serious, really serious about this generation making a difference in the world today. Amen. Thanks, guys. So let's go back to Isaiah 60. You know, the Message Bible starts this way. Wake up, church. That's how it reads. Wake up, church. Wake up, people of God. We carry the answer to this dark world. We are the light that needs to shine. You know, when I was looking at commentaries on Isaiah 60, I found a sermon delivered in 1882 by Charles Spurgeon. How many know he's a great man of God in his day, and we can learn a lot from people that have gone before us. So I want to read you a little bit of this, because it's interesting to hear what he was saying 1882. I don't even want to do the maths on that, but I know it's well over 150 years, close to. This is his message. The first word of it is arise. There is much need, dear friends, that we should be, sometimes at least, aroused. Here are persons in the light, the day has dawned upon them, but they're fast asleep. So the trumpet is sounded in their ear and the watchman shouts aloud, arise, shine, for your light is come. I believe, this is what he's saying, I believe that there are some Christian men and women who have wasted a large part of their lives for want of somebody or something to wake them up. Some Christians appear to have been born in a land of slumber and they continually live in their native country of dreams. They rub their eyes occasionally and suppose themselves to be wide awake, but they are in the enchanted ground, and though they know it not, they are little better than sleepwalkers most of their days. He goes on to say, my dear friends, you have been sluggish quite long enough. It is not time for me to cry to you, arise. It is not time for you to lift yourself up from the couch of indulgence and say, yes, I have been hearing sermons for a good long time. I have been a member of a Christian church and having been attended communions for many years. It is high time that I cease from sloth and begin to do something to show that God is with me and in me, and by his grace, so it shall be. I thought that was very interesting that even back then, God was still saying, wake up, church. Come on, church. This is our day. You know, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. And I want you to get this today, rises to shine on you. This scripture, Isaiah 60, is talking about the church. It's talking about God's people. It's talking about us rising and shining with his glory. And yes, there is coming a day when his glory will shine so bright from his church or his people that the world will stop, look, and listen. That day is coming. So let's just do what we did with the next one. Let's read the list of what Isaiah 60 is what it is to you and I, the church. Everyone will come home. Come on, everyone. Everyone you've believed for, everyone you've prayed for, everyone you've fasted for will come home. This is the word of God. Kings or governments will notice and come to the light. Oh, we need to be praying that right now, church. Your sons will come from distant lands. Your daughters will be carried home. I will make my temple or my people glorious. Your eyes will shine and your heart will be filled with joy. Wealth will come to the church, or wealth will come to God's people. Your enemies will bow down. Peace will be your leader, righteousness your ruler. Violence will cease. War and destruction will end. Salvation will surround you. Salvation will surround you. No longer will we need to shine with the sun to shine, because God's glory will be at light, the light we need. Mourning will end. The smallest family will become 1,000 people, and a tiny group will be a mighty nation. This church is when God reveals his glory all over the earth. There is coming a day. You know, we may say right now we're not seeing that, but I'm telling you, he will do it in a moment. He will do it in a moment, what would have taken centuries. See, when I read those first lot of statistics and I realize that there's 2.2 billion people that still don't know God, you could be seen, it would be fair to say, how on earth are we going to do that? You know what? The glory of God will do it. The power and the presence of God will do it. And so we have to believe this. We have to understand that it's in those days when the glory of God is filling the earth that every knee will bow, that every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And the key here is we need to keep doing what we're doing. We need to keep being faithful in what he asks us to do. And in his time, he will come like a flood. In his time, he will turn everything around by his glory. Everyone everywhere will be aware of the mighty glory, the glory that will cover the earth. So we don't need to be overwhelmed. We don't need to be overwhelmed by statistics and the darkness of our nation or the nations of the world, because we serve a God that in his time will reveal his glory like we have never seen, like we have never seen before. Declare his glory among the nations. And I believe the church is doing that. There are many Christ followers in other nations and in this nation that are doing all they can to show the glory of God by shining their light into the darkness. However, we still need to heed a few things. You know, we need to heed the warning given by Jesus about many will grow cold. And I don't want to let this go, because I believe that there, you know, many, it says that many will fall away, that their love will grow cold, because they will be caught up by false prophets. They will be caught up by wrong doctrine. And you might say, well, how will I ever know? Here's how you know. You keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. You abide in Him. You stay close to Him. You ask the Holy Spirit every day, be with me today, Holy Spirit. Guide who I talk to. Let me know when someone is saying stuff to me. Let me have that conviction that this is not right. You see, when we stay close to God, we stay safe. When we pull ourselves out from under God's covering, we open ourselves up to exactly what that says. The love of many will grow cold. You go through that list yourself. When pleasure becomes more important than God, some simple things there that can so easily distract us. And I'm saying this because I don't want anyone here to be one of those many that's love grows cold. Let's stay connected to God. Let's stay loving Jesus and let's shine our light and do what He asks us to do. Staying close to God is so important. We need to also hear Isaiah's cry to us, the church, the people of God, wake up. Rise up, for the glory of the Lord is on you. His light shines through you. And church, until such a time as the Lord decides to pour out His glory in greater measure, we are to be those that keep shining our light. We are to be those that keep shining our light into the darkness. Every time you speak to someone and bring encouragement to them, you're shining your light into the darkness. You know, every time we reach out to people in need, we're shining our light into the darkness, and we need to keep doing that. There are lights all over our world right now shining for Jesus and bringing many people out of the dark. We don't need to look at the masses. The masses are not our problem, they're His, but the ones are ours. God's called us to reach the ones. He's called us to reach the ones. You know, this is Missions Sunday. Well, you know, This is when we focus on the nations. We are a missional people. We are on mission 24/7. That's who we are. It's what we do. And we are a local church that love our community and input into our community and do all sorts of things in our community. But we also have a global focus. And I'm so proud of this church because I know that you love the nations of the world. You understand that we live in a gifted, we are blessed living in the nation we're in. There are a lot of people. A lot of people, and I told you the statistics of people doing it a lot worse off than we are. You know, every time you pray for another country, you're shining the light of God over those people. Every time you pray for one of our pastors in Cambodia, you're actually sending light to him. You're saying, we're believing with you. We're praying with you. We're believing for breakthrough. We're sending encouragement to them. Every time we give to one of our organizations, and they're able to take another orphan, we are actually shining light into the darkness of that orphan's life. And I love a church that is so passionate about not just concerned about ourselves, but we are concerned about the nations of the world. You know, I think of the persecuted church. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters. They don't get to meet like this week after week, because if they did, they'd be killed for their faith. This is happening in our world right now. And I think it's good for us to be aware of it, and it's good for us to continue to be a people that pray and give. And I'd say go, but we can't go right now. But when we can, it's good to go. And so, you know, I just want to remind you, you know, for those that give, those of you that give week in, week out in tithes and offerings, will you continue to stand with us? Will you continue to partner with us as we reach into our community? Several ways you can give, and you'll see that on the screen right now. You can give into direct. You can direct giving. Yeah, thanks, team. That'd be great. I knew I'd forget to ask you. So if we could just put that up, that'd be great. Our bank details are give by card online, or we can give by tithely. Let's continue to be faithful in giving to God, not just week after week in our tithes and offerings, but to missions. So many of you give on top of this. You give on top of this, and you can give through the same means and just mark it missions. And let's continue to give, shine a light into people's lives overseas that desperately need to know their brothers and sisters are praying for them. What I want us to do right now is, I think because I've talked about the nations, it'd be really good if we could just stand to our feet And I'd just like three people to make their way down here, because I want you to pray for the nations. Just three people that can pray for the nations. Please help me that there's more than, yeah, good. I knew you love the nations. I knew you were for the nations. Come up here, guys, with me. You know, because we've got leaders in other nations that they want to know that their brothers and sisters are praying for them. Come on. And so some of the nations that we support, China, Cambodia, Indonesia. But you know what? I just want you to pray for whatever's on your heart. Oh, you might want to pray for all the nations. You might have, like for me, I've been praying so much into North Korea right now. You know, the highest population of martyrs in the world are in North Korea. And so, you know, that when I think that we can gather here week after week without too much bother, people are being martyred because they're meeting and talking about Jesus. And so I want these guys to pray, and I want you to pray with them. Come on, this is not just them praying, but we're going to agree with them. Thank you, Laura. Why don't you start? Just pray. Any nations, whatever you want.
God, I pray for everybody in this church today. I pray with all thanks in my heart and their hearts that we have the ability to be here. We are blessed by the singers and the praise, and by Karen, by Dale, by everyone in this room to come together as a unit so you can hear us. Hear us further, God. Fill us with the Holy Spirit so we can come together and pray for those that don't have the ability to do this as a family, as a unit. I pray, God, that they can hear us and they feel us as we take the time now, in our day, tonight, and moving forward, that they hear us and feel us, God, and know that we are there praying for them and with them. Thank you, God. Amen.
Lord, I just thank you that you have, in my life, given opportunities to reach out through the work that I do. Construction and building is where I'm from, Lord, but even yesterday I was meeting with people on Zoom in other nations, Lord, so I pray for the nation of China, the people of Hong Kong, and how they're currently situated, Lord. I was talking with people from Hong Kong yesterday and someone else from South Africa late in the day, Lord. These are nations that are struggling at this time with COVID and other things, but we're blessed. We've been locked down, but we've had opportunities still to live a life of relative freedom compared to what they're in now, Lord. So we just ask that your hand would be upon them, that you would give them the grace and the opportunity to meet you through someone who's already there, because we can't travel there to see them at this moment, Lord. But we know that you are there and you are with them. So we pray that you strengthen them and guide them. In Jesus' name.
Thank you that you chose to send your Son so that we could all know salvation. Thank you for that with which we've received. Thank you for the love that we have in you. I pray right now for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world, those that right now are facing persecution, those whose lives are in danger and at risk. I pray that you would grant them a supernatural courage, a supernatural boldness, the ability to continue to stand, to continue to represent you, the ability to love those that are persecuting them. I thank you for the witness of every single person who has chosen you in nations where it endangers their life. And I pray for every person who has left their country of birth in obedience to you and found themselves in a foreign land, who've loved and lived for you. I pray for them right now that you will strengthen them, you'll remind them of the obedience that they've shown to you. You would honor them for their faithfulness. I pray that they'd be reminded that even though they may not see the fruit before them right now, that they'd be reminded of the obedience and the sacrifice that they have made. I pray that they would be reminded of the fruit that is to come of many, many people coming into the kingdom of God. Be their encouragement. In your mighty name I pray. Amen.
Thanks, guys. Now, just before we sing a song, I wonder if you feel comfortable, I'd love you just to raise your hands right now. If you don't, that's okay. If you want to, I just want to pray. I really want to pray that God opens our eyes and gives us a fresh understanding of what it means to be the church. Isaiah 60 is talking about the church. And I want to implore all of you, go and read it this week. Get encouragement from it. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Lord, I pray for every single person in this room today, for all of us, God. Lord, that you will help us come to that place of understanding that you have given us a light to shine. And because of Jesus, because of the sacrifice you made, we can actually shine a light that can shine into people's darkness and cause the darkness to go. Lord, I pray for a confidence to come over your church. I pray for a boldness to come over your church right now, that every person in this place will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to be bold, to be conquerors, to be those that have authority, to come in the name of Jesus and to bring peace and to bring joy over people's lives. Lord, I pray for a release of your power in every single person that calls themselves a Christ follower, that they will stand strong in you. Lord, that you'll give us words, God, that will set the captive free in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for moments in their life, for those online right now, for those in their lounge room, for moments in your week where you will bring a word that will bring light into someone else's darkness. Will you fill us all right now, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I want us going singing this morning. What is it? Living Hope. Because, you know, Jesus is our living hope. And I think we need to be reminded of that all the time, is that he's our living hope. But guess what? He's a whole lot of other people's living hope too. So why don't we go singing this today and move into a week where we actually take that living hope and we bring light into someone else's darkness.